British Sky Broadcasting presents The American President, voiced by Neville Ware on behalf of MCS Agency. The opening sequence is a collage of iconic symbols of the US presidency, including the Stars and Stripes and the American Eagle. A Rob Reiner film. Michael Douglas. Annette Bening. The American President. Martin Sheen. David Paymer. John Mahoney. Anna Deavere Smith, Nina Shymashko. Wendy Malick, Shauna Waldron. And Michael J. Fox as Lewis Rothschild. Portraits of former presidents and books of their addresses and writings are shown, along with plates bearing the insignia of the office. Music by Mark Shaman. The gallery of past presidents continues. Produced and directed by Rob Reiner. There is an exterior shot of the White House. A fountain plays and the trees are bare. Inside, a security man speaks as President Andrew Shepherd enters the room with his PA.
Liberty's moving.
The 10:15 event's been moved inside to the Indian Treaty Room.
10:15 is American Fisheries?
Yes, sir. They're giving you a 200-pound halibut.
Janie, make a note. We need to schedule more events where somebody gives me a really big fish.
Yes, sir.
Janie, I'm kidding.
Of course,
hey,
sir.
Hey, Cooper.
Morning, Mr. President.
They enter a lift.
Mr. Rothschild asked to have a moment with you this morning, sir.
Is he upset about the speech last night?
He seemed concerned.
Well, it wouldn't be a Monday morning unless Lewis was concerned about something I did Sunday night.
You skipped the whole paragraph.
And Monday morning it is.
Americans can no longer afford to pretend they live in a great society and then nothing. You dumped the whole handguns paragraph.
This is a time for prudence, Lewis.
But, sir, that was the kick-ass section.
Well, I thought what with being president and all...
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to imply...
I thought you'd be turning cartwheels this morning, Lewis. 63% job approval.
That is good news, sir.
Morning, Mr. President.
Charlie.
Morning, Charlie.
Sir, the press is going to need an explanation.
For what?
Well, because you dumped the whole kick-ass section. Now we've just got this thing hanging out there.
There's this thing hanging out there?
Americans can no longer afford to pretend they live in a great society, and then nothing. I mean, no explanation, no context, it's just this thing.
And it's hanging out there.
Yes, sir.
Maria.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. They tell you I'm going to need
overall
the consumers...
Overall consumer spending and not just first homes, we'll have free in 15 minutes.
Thanks.
Mr. President, I really feel
Lewis,
we need to focus
on... however much coffee you drink in the morning, I want you to reduce it by half.
I don't drink coffee, sir.
Hit yourself over the head with a baseball bat, would you please?
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday, Laura.
Laura, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
I should send her some flowers.
You already did, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President.
How are you today, Mrs. Chappell?
Fine, thank you, sir. Mr. Kodak left a detailed breakdown of the approval poll for you. He seemed to indicate that it was very good news.
63% of it, at any rate.
Lucy called just a moment ago. You forgot to sign her permission slip for her class.
The museum trip. I'll go get it, sir.
What time's she getting home today?
3:20.
How's my afternoon look?
Very crowded.
Schedule some time at 3:45.
Buenos dias, señor presidente.
To Tom McCall. So how was Mexico?
I didn't truly appreciate it till I came back and discovered that America isn't a great society.
You dumped the whole section.
Now there's this thing hanging out there.
Not a great society, sir.
Well, with you out of the country, it wasn't. Now that you're back, Robin, we're great again.
Well, there's a press room full of people saying, what did he mean by that?
See?
AJ. Did you get one of these?
Is that the letter from Solomon at the GDC?
Well, it appears to be a letter from the entire environmental community. These people are out of control.
Well, they're frustrated, Mr. President.
Are they blaming the president for global warming?
Well, they don't think he caused it, if that's what you mean. Sir, I'm on the phone with these people twice a week. I honestly don't know what they want at this point.
What they want is a 20% reduction in fossil fuel emissions.
Won't pass the 20%.
Well, we haven't really tried.
Lewis, McSorley, McCluskey, and Shane hold too many markers. If we try to push this through and lose, there will be a very loud thud when we hit the ground, and that's not what you want in an election year.
Talk to the GDC again, AJ. Tell them the president resents the implication he's turned his back on the environment. Tell them I'll send 455 to the floor, but I'm going to ask for a 10% reduction. They want to pull their support, fine. With a 63% job approval rating, I don't need their help to get a bill passed.
Good deal.
All right, let's get going. Where's Leon?
John, will you call Mr. Kodak and tell him the president's waiting?
Sorry, late ball.
Never mind, John.
Excuse me.
He bumps into a table lamp.
Good morning, Mr. President.
You all right?
They keep moving that big ficus plant.
We're all here, Mr. President.
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. 3 years ago, we were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. And today, Kodak here tells us 63% of registered voters think we're doing a good job.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
But the poll also tells us what we already know. We don't get our crime bill through Congress. Those numbers are going to be a memory. So starting today, we're shifting it into gear.
Can I tell my morning press gaggle that gun control is...
Crime control, Robin. Gun control means we're wimps and we're soft on crime.
Well, hang on. Are we not...
Lewis, please.
Are we not putting back the handgun restrictions?
No, we're leaving them out.
Mr. President, we campaigned on this issue. I understand we took them out when we were in the low 40s, but we could push it through now.
After the elections, Lewis.
We may never have an opportunity like this again. So let's take this 63% out for a spin. Let's see what it could do.
We can't take it out for a spin. We need it to get reelected. For reasons passing understanding, people do not relate guns to gun-related crime. Robin, you can brief the press this afternoon. As of today, the crime bill is priority one on the president's domestic agenda.
Got it.
Leon, you're going to run the war room. We're going to need detailed projections for all the target districts by the end of the week. Oh, and Leon, don't be the nice, sweet guy from Brooklyn on this one. Do what the NRA does.
Well, scare the shit out of him?
Exactly.
I can do that.
Lewis, we want you to be legislative liaison on this. You're going to run the show on the Hill.
Can I just say, to return to the subject for one moment, that it might be easier to fight a war on drugs if we weren't arming drug dealers?
We got to fight the fights we can win, Lewis.
Yes, sir.
And we want to announce the crime bill at the State of the Union, which is 72 days from today. The last nose count put us 18 votes short.
18 votes in 72 days. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. President.
What's next?
Security briefing, sir.
Inside the steel and glass building of the Global Defense Council, Susan Sloan enters Leo Solomon's office.
Good morning, Global Defense Council.
You wanted to see me?
I just got off the phone with A.J. McInerney.
Did the president read the letter?
The president's pissed as hell, Susan. That letter was a stupid move.
It was aggressive, and I think we should stand by every
this
word...
This isn't the guy who needed our help 4 years ago, Susan. He's incredibly popular. He's going to win re-election in a walk, and he could give a shit what we stand by. If the president passes the most important piece of environmental legislation in history and does it despite our negative endorsement, our political weight in the future will rank somewhere below the Save the Spotted Owl Society. I'm bringing in some help.
We don't need another environmental expert to confirm what every other environmental expert
already knows. Not an environmental expert. A professional political strategist. Playing hardball with Andrew Shepard, and we need a heavy bat.
Who?
Sidney Ellen Wade.
Christ, Leo, that woman doesn't know the first thing about the environmental lobby.
She's a closer, Susan. She gets the job done.
What if I lose this? Then move this up here.
David Sasser from the Times called, wanted to know what the White House felt was a great society.
What'd you tell him?
I told him I couldn't speak for the president, but for my money, Bermuda.
Perfect.
Mr. President, your cousin Judith's come down with the flu and won't be able to join you Thursday night.
Sorry to hear that. Remind me to give her a call later today.
Yes, sir.
You gonna go stag?
It's not a problem.
No, we've never gone wrong parading you around as a lonely widower.
Janey stops and looks back to see how the president has taken this remark.
I can't believe I said that. Mr. President, that was an incredibly thoughtless remark. I would never dream of insulting you or the memory of your wife.
That's okay, forget it. What time is it?
It's 3:30, sir.
I'm going to go up and say hi to Lucy.
You have the Attorney General at 4 and the Trade Rep at 4:30. Somewhere in there you promised NPR 5 minutes.
Mr. President.
Robin, don't worry about it.
Robin sighs unhappily to herself. President Shepard walks towards a room where his daughter is practicing the trombone, sitting in front of her music stand.
Well, don't stop. It sounds great. What is it?
Scales.
Well, you're playing with gusto.
Are my lips swollen?
Are they supposed to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're doing just fine.
What you got behind your back?
I have a little surprise for you.
Is it a dirt bike?
No.
He hands her a thick hardback book.
Is it a really old 7th grade textbook of yours that you're gonna make me read cover to cover and discuss at dinner and drive me crazy with?
Well, I'm not comfortable with the really old part, but everything else you said was true.
Understanding the Constitution.
Yeah, your social studies teacher said your class is going to begin studying the Constitution this week.
Wait a minute, you talked to Mr. Linder?
Yes, it's called a parent-teacher conference. Mr. Linder and I were the key players in the discussion. So why don't you like social studies, Luce?
I like it fine, Dad.
Oh, come on. All your other teachers say you're happy, you're enthusiastic, you always raise your hand. Mr. Linder says you never participate unless he calls on you, and then even then it's a one-word answer.
I don't know, Dad. I guess I'm just not... I don't know.
Luce, take a look at this book. This is exciting stuff. It's about who we are and what we want. Read what it says in the first page.
Property of Gilmore Junior High.
The next page, Luce.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union...
Now, you see what I mean? It grabs you right off the bat. This is a page-turner.
I can't wait.
Well, good, because it's possible this subject may come up at dinner tonight.
Do you see it as part of your job to torture me?
No, just one of the perks. See you tonight, honey.
Yeah.
The Security Council in session.
The C-STAT hardware has been in place for a month. We have 22 instructors from the Army Air Defense School waiting to go down and train the Israelis.
How soon can you deploy them?
We can airlift them in the morning. They'll have C-STAT operational in 20 days.
Any security concerns?
If anybody wanted to hit it, they'd have hit it by now.
Okay, let's move on it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good night, John.
Thank you.
You too.
Good night.
Have a good evening, Mrs. Chappell.
Good night, Mr. President.
Janie, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
You will, Mr. President.
Good night, Janie. Good night, Mrs. Chappell.
Mr. President. Sir.
Thank you. Leo Solomon brought in a hired gun at the GDC.
Well, it's about time.
She's a lawyer from Virginia. Her name is Sidney Ellen Wade. I know her pretty well. She's had a lot of success getting congressmen elected.
Maybe we should try to steal her. 10%, AJ. Don't let them leave the room till they're clear about that.
Yes, sir. You know, if you've got a free second, maybe you could stop in and say hello. It might smooth the way.
Why don't you mention it to Janie tomorrow?
Good deal.
And let's clear this off the table and get focused on the crime bill. I don't want to just win this one. I want to win it by a couple of touchdowns.
We will, Mr. President.
AJ.
Sir.
Robin said something to me today, and I know she wouldn't have said it if... I mean, she wasn't saying it to me, I realize. Forget. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, Mr. President.
AJ.
Yes, sir.
When we're out of the office and alone, you can call me Andy.
I beg your pardon?
You were the best man at my wedding, for crying out loud. Call me Andy.
Whatever you say, Mr. President. Good night, sir.
Good night, AJ.
The president walked away. On a winter morning, Susan Sloan and another woman hurry towards the White House. They approach the security check and Susan presents her driver's license.
Hi, I'm Sidney Ellen Wade.
He just needs your driver's license.
I'm from Virginia.
He doesn't care.
I'm here for a meeting with Mr. McInerney.
He doesn't need to know that.
Oh, forgive me. This is my first time at the White House. I'm trying to savor the Capra-S quality.
He doesn't know what Capra-S means.
Yeah, I do. Frank Capra, great American director. It's a Wonderful Life. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Sidney Ellen Wade of Virginia. Knock him dead.
Thanks.
The president concludes a meeting.
Start subsidizing private schools the day that we give up on public education.
I know the proposal only scratches the surface, but it's the least we can do.
We'll let Harold take a look at this. We'll revisit it early party next week.
Jerry, say hello to Linda Foreman. We don't see you before Thanksgiving. Have a good holiday.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
So how are we doing?
You're running 4 minutes ahead of schedule.
Ahead?
Yes, sir.
Gee, that's unprecedented. I don't know what to do with myself.
Mr. McInerney asked me to remind you to pop
your
head.
Oh, right, the GDC meeting, yeah.
Rest assured, your concerns are not falling on deaf ears. The environmental lobby has known no greater ally in the White House than President Shepard.
Hardly an impressive distinction, AJ.
Sidney, we should leave Mr. McInerney alone now. He's already given
Susan,
us more
Mr.
time.
Mr. McInerney doesn't want us to leave him alone because Mr. McInerney's not yet done what he needs to do today.
Sir, Ms. Wade's been thrown into the deep end of the pool on her first day. She hasn't even had a chance to read the report of the Quebec conference.
You're right. I haven't read it.
If someone had asked me yesterday, I would have told them that the Quebec Conference was made up of 6 professional hockey teams. But what I do know is that it's time for the president to run for president again. Leon Kodak is as good as it gets when it comes to electoral strategy, and I'm certain he's told the president exactly what I'd tell him. You gotta nail down Michigan and California, where they make cars and airplanes and they burn plenty of fossil fuels. But if I'd read these 800 pages, I would have discovered that it's the burning of fossil fuels which is mostly responsible for global warming, and that the 20% reduction recommended by the GDC is a necessary first step toward arresting the catastrophic greenhouse effect which has gone unchecked by this administration.
It's really time.
Susan, I promise you the White House chief of staff will not let us leave here until he's broken the bad news.
I'm afraid Sidney's right, although not about Michigan and California. The president has asked me to convey to you that he's sending his energy bill to the floor with a call for a 10% reduction. Now, the president is willing to go it alone on this, but he's asking for, and frankly, he's expecting the full support of the GDC.
The president's expecting our full support.
Yes, he is, Sidney.
The president's dreaming, AJ. The president
Sidney
has critically misjudged reality. If he honestly thinks that the environmental community is going to whistle a happy tune while rallying support around this pitifully lame mockery of environmental leadership just because he's a nice guy and he's done better than his predecessors, then your boss is the chief executive of Fantasyland.
Let's take him out back and beat the shit out of him.
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you today?
Couldn't be better. My apologies for the interruption. AJ suggested I come by and say hello. You wouldn't be Sidney Ellen Wade by any chance, would you?
Mr. President, I'm, don't know what to say. I'm speechless.
All evidence to the contrary.
Mr. President, we haven't met. I'm Susan Sloan. I used to work with Congressman Myers, and I hope that this incident in no way jeopardizes the good relationship.
Sidney?
Yes, sir?
Do you have a second?
Of course.
Sidney leaves the room, followed by the president.
I thought maybe we might talk in private someplace a little less intimidating. Janie!
Yes, sir?
This is Janie Baz, my personal aide. Janie, would you show Miss Wade to the rec room, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll be with you in a second.
Janie shows Sidney into the Oval Office and closes the door behind her. Sidney looks around her in disbelief and wonder. Nervously, she smooths back her hair just before the president comes in.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Mr. President,
Is it all right if I call you Sidney?
Of course. Mr. President.
Have you ever been in the Oval Office?
I've just been on the regular tour. It didn't include...
Hair's pretty good.
Mr. President, what you saw in there was nothing more than vanity run amok. I was showing off for a colleague who doesn't think very much of me. It would be a real injustice for you to hold the GDC accountable for my behavior today, on top of which I am monumentally sorry for having insulted you like that.
Are you under the impression I'm mad at you?
Well,
Sidney, seldom does a day go by when I'm not burned in effigy.
Not by a professional political operative standing 30 feet from the Oval Office.
Now, I'll grant you that.
Mr. President,
did you know the city planners, when they sat down to design Washington, D.C., their intention was to build a city that would intimidate and humble foreign heads of state? It's true.
I didn't know that.
The White House is the single greatest home court advantage in the modern world.
I learned that one the hard way.
Sidney, this bill is important to me.
Yes, sir. I'll convey your message.
But you don't believe me.
The GDC is asking for 20%, sir.
It's not going to pass at 20%. It's a long shot at 10.
How do you know that until you put the full weight of the White House behind it?
Sidney, at 20%, we're 34 votes shy in the House. It can't be done. But I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. If you can get 24 votes, I'll get you the last 10.
24 votes?
If you can swing 24 votes by the State of the Union, I will promise you full White House support.
Do I have your word on that, sir?
Absolutely. Listen, are you hungry? I skipped breakfast. You want to have a donut? Coffee or something?
Sidney is amazed.
Sir, I'm a little intimidated by my surroundings. And yes, I have gotten off to a rocky and a somewhat stilted beginning, but don't let that diminish the weight of my message. The GDC has been at every president for the last decade and a half that global warming is a calamity, the effects of which will be second only to nuclear war. The best scientists in the world have given you every reason to take the GDC seriously, but I'm going to give you one more. If you don't live up to the deal you just made, come New Hampshire, we're going to go shopping for a new candidate.
You can't do that, Sidney.
With all due respect, Mr. President, who's going to stop me?
Well, if you go through that door, the United States Secret Service. That's my private office.
Ah.
You have to go out that door over there.
Sydney tries to recover her dignity and crosses the Oval Office to leave through the door the President has indicated. She closes the door behind her and the President smiles to himself. The President is playing pool with AJ.
McSorley, McCluskey, and Shane know that we're making our move on the crime bill. They're circling the wagons on the assault weapons.
Should I meet with them?
I'll let Lewis take a pass at him first.
Fine. Two ball on the side.
The ball drops into the pocket.
Nice shot, Mr. President.
Nice shot, Mr. President. You won't even call me by my name when we're playing pool?
I will not do it playing pool. I will not do it in a school. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam.
At ease, AJ, at ease. Would you get away from the pocket?
I beg your pardon, sir.
Nine ball in the corner.
Another successful pot.
Leo Solomon phoned. He said he was thrilled with the deal you made this morning.
I forgot to tell you.
It's a waste of time.
But it's not our time. GDC makes a big push to get the votes. When they come up short, we move in with a softer bill, get it passed. We're everybody's hero. Three ball on the side.
Also, Sidney Way called.
The President fluffs his shot.
Sidney Wade?
She wanted to apologize one more time for her behavior. Excuse me, sir. Three inside.
Did she say anything about me?
Ms. Wade?
When she called.
Did she say anything about you?
Well, no, it's just that we had a nice couple of minutes together. She threatened me, I patronized her. We didn't have anything to eat, but I thought there was a connection.
Excuse me, sir.
Sure.
13 in the corner.
She didn't say anything about me?
Well, no, sir, but I could pass her a note before study hall.
Well, tell me this, hypothetically.
I feel a nightmare coming on.
What would happen if I called Sidney Wade and asked her to be my date at the state dinner on Thursday evening?
You're not serious.
Don't I sound serious?
The president can't just go out on a date.
Well, why not? Jefferson did. Wilson did. Wilson was widowed during his first term. He met a woman named Edith Galt. He dated her, courted her, and married her. And somewhere in there, he managed to form the League of Nations.
Mr. President, this is an election year. If you're looking for female companionship, we can make certain arrangements that'll ensure total privacy.
I don't want you to get me a girl, AJ. But what is this, Vegas?
No, sir. This is the White House.
And I'm talking about something that is in no way a conflict with my oath of office. I'm a single adult. I met a woman who I'd like to see again socially. Now, how is that different from what Wilson did?
The difference is he didn't have to be president on television. You said it yourself a million times. If there had been a TV in every living room 60 years ago, this country does not elect a man in a wheelchair.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying we'll take a hit.
How big?
I don't know. 5 points, maybe more.
5 points? We're sitting here talking about 5 points?
Could be more.
I dropped 5 points and Wisconsin doesn't make it to the Rose Bowl. Five ball in the corner.
Do you want me to have Kodak put together some numbers so we know what we're talking about?
Yeah. No. I don't want to check a polling sample to see if it's okay, like I'm asking permission to stay out an hour past curfew. This is not the business of the American people.
With all due respect, sir, the American people have a funny way of deciding on their own what is and what is not their business.
I like her, AJ. Stop being my chief of staff for 1 minute.
Give her a call.
Janie! She didn't say anything about me?
She did say you were taller than she thought you'd be.
Well, that's something.
Yes, sir.
Janie, I need you to track down a phone number for me.
Sydney is in her sister's apartment that evening.
Richard, it wasn't funny. I acted like a college freshman at a protest rally.
Tell him the part about walking out the wrong door.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. No, Richard, no. No, I don't want to hear your Andrew Shepherd imitation.
I want to hear it.
I'm hanging up now, Richard. Tonight I was going to go to bed early and wake up when there's a new president. Shh, the president must think I'm a third-rate jerk.
No, if he thinks you're a jerk, I'm sure he thinks you're a first-rate jerk.
I'll tell you one thing, boy. I regrouped. You got to give me that. I pulled it together at the end. I stood in the middle of the Oval Office and I made it absolutely clear that from now on, he who doesn't take the GDC seriously does so at his peril.
And then you walked out the wrong door.
Are you going to be throwing that back at me the rest of my life?
That's my current plan, yes.
Oh, that's going to be Leo Solomon. He said he'd call at 9.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Is this Sydney?
Leo?
No, this is Andrew Shepherd.
Oh, it's Andrew Shepherd. Yeah, you're hilarious, Richard. You're just a regular riot.
No, this isn't Richard. This is Andrew Shepherd.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you called because I forgot to tell you today what a nice ass you have. I'm also impressed that you were able to get my phone number given the fact that I don't have a phone. Good night, Richard.
No, this isn't Richard. This used to be easier.
The phone rings again in the apartment.
This.
Do you want me to deal with him?
No way. I may choke in front of Shepherd. Richard Reynolds, I can handle. Hello?
Sydney?
Are you learning impaired?
Listen, do me a favor. Hang up the phone.
What?
Hang up the phone, then dial 456-1414. When you get the White House operator, give her your name and tell her you want to speak to the president.
He hangs up in a satisfied manner. Sydney is appalled.
This isn't happening to me.
What's going on?
No, it's not possible I did this twice in one day.
She dials the number.
Good evening, the White House. Hello?
Hi. My name's Sydney Ellen Wade. I'd like to,
The President's expecting your call, ma'am. I'll put you right through.
Sydney nods in a resigned way.
Hello?
Mr. President. I'm sure there's an appropriate thing to say at this moment. Probably some formal apology for the nice ass remark would be in order. I don't quite know how to word it.
Nah, it's my fault. I shouldn't have called you at home. Should I call you at the office tomorrow?
No, of course not. I mean, yes, you can call me anytime you want. This is fine. Right now is fine. When I said of course not, I meant that... You know what? The hell with it. I'm moving to another country.
What did you mean when you said that you didn't have a phone?
Oh, I just moved to Washington over the weekend, and my apartment isn't ready yet. This is my sister's apartment. Come to think of it, how did you get this number?
How did I get the number? That's a good question. I don't know, probably the FBI.
Oh, the FBI. Sure, because if you want to find someone and you're the president, that's who you'd call.
You know who else is good at that?
CIA?
Well, yeah, but I was thinking of the Internal Revenue Service. You know, they have these computer files that, Well, I should stop stalling. As you probably know, the French have elected themselves a new president, and we're having a formal state dinner at the White House, and I was wondering, and you're under no obligation law, but I thought it might be fun, and I was wondering if maybe you wanted to go with me, and well, that's it. That's why I was calling.
Sydney is so stunned that she is motionless.
Sydney? Sydney, Congress doesn't take this long.
Mr. President, you have asked me to join you in representing our country. I'm honored. I'm equal to the task. I won't let you down, sir.
Sydney, this is just dinner. We're not going to be doing espionage or anything.
No, of course. I'm a little, what do I do? I mean, you know, where do I go? I mean, would you... Will you meet me? Should I...
I'm going to have a very nice woman named Marcia Bridgeport call you, and she's the White House Social Secretary, and she's going to help you with anything that you want. Now, when she calls you and tells you her name is Marcia Bridgeport, it'll help if you give her the benefit of the doubt.
Of course.
And I'll see you Thursday night.
Mr. President, thanks for asking me, really. This is a first for me.
Me too.
The president is pleased with himself. Leon Kodak is in the campaign room.
Okay, who's on Indiana? Excuse me, new people, I can't remember your names. Could you raise your hands if you're on Indiana, please? No, put your hands down, you're on Illinois.
You got Jarrett.
What?
George Jarrett. He's our solid yes.
I don't believe it. You, new guy. Jarrett, Democrat, Minnesota, slide his name on over to yes. We just had his name laminated under undecided. How'd you get the fence pole out of his butt?
Well, I wish I could take credit for it. He says, Lewis, I support the president 100%. Not the bill, the president.
We're going to win this in a walk. You know, it's like a kissing booth at a carnival. Give us a vote, get a photo op with number 63.
We should have gone after the handguns.
No, we got to do one thing at a time.
We don't have time to do one thing at a time.
Yeah, hi, it's David in Sydney Wade's office. Y'all hold. Carol, it's David in Sydney Wade's office. I want to confirm her lunch with the congressman.
We can do with a little party leadership, Mike.
Yeah, I got it right here.
I mean,
Is the majority whip taking a break? Congress is in session, right? I'm not wrong about that.
I just got off with Luther Simons. Brock's on board.
Terrific.
All right, well, have him get back to me.
You okay, Sid?
Sure, why?
I don't know. You seem a little tense.
What do you mean?
She notices that she's been constantly tapping her pencil and stops.
What do you have? Big date tonight?
The White House on the evening of the reception for the new French president. Elaborately uniformed personnel open limousine doors for the VIPs. Security guards inspect handbags as the elegantly attired visitors file in. A TV reporter and his cameraman stop Senator Rumson.
Senator Rumson, if I can have a moment with you, sir.
Certainly.
I'm standing here with Senate Minority Leader Robert Rumson, just one of the many guests arriving at what, for the next few hours at least, will be a nonpartisan White House. Senator, the latest public opinion surveys show the president with approval ratings that would make him all but unbeatable come next November. Is there a Republican who can mount a serious challenge, and are you that candidate?
Well, Lloyd, it's a long time till next November. Right now, I'm just looking forward to a pleasant evening.
Thank you, Senator.
Lucy adjusts her father's bow tie.
That's a little tight, Luce.
It's supposed to be tight. It's supposed to make you look regal.
Is it supposed to cut off the blood flow to my face?
All done.
Andrew stands up and checks his tie in the mirror.
Well, that's not bad. Where'd you learn how to do that?
Social studies.
Very funny. Oh, really? Where'd you learn that?
I don't know. I just guess I picked it up somewhere.
Sweetie, did Mom teach you how to do that?
Yeah.
Lucy, is this okay? Am I having dinner with a lady?
Dad, it's totally okay.
You sure? Because if there's anything you want to talk about...
Dad, it's cool. Just go for it.
Okay. You know, I'm a little nervous.
You'll be fine. Just be yourself.
Be myself.
Yeah, and compliment her shoes.
Her shoes?
Yeah. Girls like that.
Okay. Thanks.
Looking very elegant, Sydney arrives at the White House and hands over her bag for the security check. Janie approaches her.
Thank you.
Miss Wade?
Oh, hi.
Good evening. The president would like you to join him upstairs in the residence. May I show you the way?
Of course.
In the residence, drinks and snacks are being served to the guests. Janie leads Sydney into the room. AJ greets her.
Sydney, come on in. You look beautiful.
Thanks. I have no idea what I'm doing here.
I promise you, there's no hidden agenda. This is my wife, Esther.
Oh,
you
sure.
Know each other.
It's nice to see you. Yes,
it is. Sydney. Andrew Shepherd, we spoke on the phone.
Yes, sir. I remember.
Excuse me one minute.
The president told me how you two met, Sydney. I think it's priceless.
I don't know what happened. One minute I was calling him a mockery of an environmental leader, the next minute I had a date.
Men like being insulted by women. It makes them feel loved. Don't ask me why.
Mr. President, would you allow me to introduce to you Sidney Ellen Wade of the Commonwealth of Virginia? Sidney, this is President René Jean d'Astier and his wife Monique Danielle d'Astier of France.
A great pleasure to meet you.
Oh, it's an honor to meet you both.
I'm so pleased to meet you.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to interrupt. The receiving line is in place.
Sidney? I think our table's ready.
A solemn procession of military and marine personnel lead the president and Sidney down the stairs.
When we get to the bottom of the stairs, I've got to do a thing, but you'll be escorted
to... They took me through it.
Oh, good.
Do you do this often, sir?
Well, this is actually only our second state dinner. The first one was for the Emperor of Japan, who died shortly after, so we stopped having them for a while just in case.
No, I meant, do you go out on that? Do you often...
Do I date a lot?
Yeah.
No, how about you?
Me? Well, lately I seem to be going out on a lot of first dates.
Well, then you're experienced at this.
Oh, yeah, you can ask me anything.
Well, how are we doing so far?
It's hard to say at this point. So far, it's just your typical first date stuff.
Damn, and I want to be different from the other guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Oh, by the way.
Accompanied by...
Nice shoes.
The President of France and Madame d'Astier.
The Guard of Honor leads the guests into the dining room as the band play. Food is served and champagne poured. All the guests are seated at round tables, each with 10 places, and dinner has begun. Sydney makes an observation to the president.
Mr. President, the president and Mrs. Dostier look bored. They're not talking to anybody.
They're hammered. Esther, you speak French?
Latin.
I thought you spoke French.
No, Latin.
Great. Next time Julius Caesar comes to town, you're our gal. Sydney, I don't suppose...
Monsieur le Président, nous sommes tous habillés. Nous avons ce merveilleux orchestre, une pièce magnifique. Comment se fait-il que les invités ne dansent pas?
That's my date.
Mademoiselle Wade, je ne connais pas la tradition en Amérique, mais dans mon pays, si les invités de Louis XVI et de Marie-Antoinette avaient osé danser devant le roi et la reine, ils auraient perdu la tête.
Really?
Absolument.
Sydney, you didn't dissolve our trade agreements, did you?
No, I just said we're sitting in this beautiful room, listening to the music of this wonderful orchestra, and I wondered why nobody was dancing.
And I informed Miss Wade that in my country, a guest at the palace of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette would soon find their head in a guillotine if they made the impertinent gesture of dancing without so much as a buy or leave from the king and the queen.
I bet no one accused Louis of being soft on crime.
There's a lesson there, Mr. President.
More beheadings at the White House.
Bob Rumson would embrace it.
Yes, I'm sure he would. But I have a better idea.
He stands up and approaches Sydney.
Would you like to dance?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yes, sir. I'd love to.
She stands up and Andrew leads her by the hand to the dance floor. They start to dance. The guests watch them, mostly with a mixture of surprise and pleasure. The French president smiles. AJ's wife puts her arm round his shoulders. Sydney becomes aware of all the people gazing at them. Senator Bob Rumson watches on stonily.
I don't know how you do it.
It's Arthur Murray, 6 lessons.
That's not what I mean. 200 pairs of eyes are focused on you right now with 2 questions. Who's this girl and why is the president dancing with her?
Well, first of all, the 200 pairs of eyes are not focused on me. They're focused on you. And the answers are Sydney Ellen Wade, and because she said yes.
They dance on, gazing deeply into each other's eyes. No one in the entire room can take their eyes off them. Later, Sydney gazes back enraptured at the illuminated White House as she is driven home. Morning at the White House. Gardeners tend the borders and housekeepers vacuum the carpets. The press room is prepared and the White House news report is dropped onto a table. The President walks into the exterior office.
Good morning, Mrs. Chappell.
Good morning, Mr. President. Mr. Rothschild and Miss McCall are in the office, sir. They said they needed to speak with you before scheduling.
Fine. Janie, can you get me the number of a local florist?
I'll take care of it, sir. Where do you want them sent?
No, I want to do it myself. I just need the number.
I don't understand.
I want the phone number of a florist.
You just want the phone number?
Yeah.
I don't understand, sir. Is there a problem?
Janie, I want
to
send some flowers. I want to do it myself. I don't want to staff it out. I don't want to issue an executive order. I just want a phone number.
I'll get it for you right away, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. President, we need 5 minutes of your time
before
scheduling.
I'll be within 2 minutes. I just need to make a call. Thank you, Janie.
He looks at Lewis, wondering why he's still in the room.
Who are we calling, sir?
I'm calling the Organization of the United Brotherhood. If it's none of your damn business, Lewis, I'll be with you in a second.
Yes, sir.
Lewis and Robin leave the Oval Office.
Yeah, hi, good morning. How do I get an outside line? That was simple. Janie.
Yes.
What's the president doing?
I'm sorry, I'm really not at liberty to say.
Yes, hi, good morning. Is this Carmen's House of Flowers? Good, I'd like to order some flowers, please. Well, tell me, what is the state flower of Virginia?
Does this have something to do with Sidney Wade?
I'm really not at liberty to say.
Well, is there anybody there who might know? No, I'm not trying to be difficult. Hang on, please. Janie, what is the state flower of Virginia?
Mrs. Chapel, state flower of Virginia?
Dogwood.
The dogwood, sir.
Thank you. It's a dogwood. Really? Hold on, please. Janie, the dogwood is a tree. It's not a flower.
Actually, it's a tree and a flower.
Are you sure?
Yes. What's going on?
Sir, it's a tree and a flower.
The dogwood is a tree and a flower. I'd like a dozen, please. Really, no dogwoods. How about roses? Simple, classic, two dozen?
Janie, I'm the president's senior domestic policy advisor, and that's important. I have a full understanding of...
Janie, do you know where my credit cards are?
They're in storage in Wisconsin with the rest of your personal items.
Right. Perhaps it would be better if you bill me for the flowers. I'm sure it'll be all right with your boss. Well, I don't know if you recognize my voice, but this is the president of the United States. Hello? Hello?
Sidney walks into Leo's office.
Leo, want to see me?
So there I was, thinking, maybe I should give Sidney a call. She's new in town, doesn't know many people.
Leo.
Then I picked up the Times.
Leo, it was crazy. He called me at home.
What's going on?
Nothing. It was innocent. His cousin got the flu at the last minute.
Did you sleep with him?
Leo.
Did you sleep with him?
That's none of your business, Leo.
Yeah, it is, Sidney.
Well, you want to tell me how my personal life...
Because when it's the president, it's not personal. I hired your reputation, Sidney. I hired a pit bull, not a prom queen.
That's unfair.
It's incredibly unfair. But you spent a lot of time over the years telling me the trouble with the environmental lobby is that we don't understand the fundamental truth that politics is perception. This is a bad time to develop ignorance.
You're making way too much of this.
Am I? This is your time, Sidney. You're sitting at the grown-ups table. You have a chance to get everything you want. Run a national campaign. Be a major player inside the party. But this relationship had better go all the way, because with the leader of the free world, there's no halfway. Politics is perception. And if this doesn't work out, the amount of time it'll take you to go from being a hired gun to a cocktail party joke can be clocked with an egg timer.
Leo, there's no relationship. It was one night. It's done.
Mr. Solomon, this was just delivered by White House Messenger. It's more perishable.
The White House has sent me something perishable?
It's from Miss Wade.
Here we go.
Hey, relax, Leo. I'm sure it's just a formality.
It's from him.
Of course it's from him.
So he had some staff flunky send me a fruit basket.
Well, he wrote the note himself.
I'm sure he didn't take the time to...
The messenger said he waited in the Oval Office for 10 minutes while the president wrote the card.
Okay, listen.
It took him 10 minutes to write the card? Apparently he went through several drafts.
Sidney opens the envelope and reads the card, smiling as she does so. Leo is not amused. Sidney puts the card and envelope into the basket and opens the contents.
What is it?
A ham.
A ham?
He sent me a Virginia ham.
Dig it, Miss Wade. You're the president's girlfriend.
There's never an egg timer around when you need one.
A uniformed guard at the White House opens the door for Sidney.
Thanks.
Lewis and Robin are in discussion with the president.
Sir, they're going to be pressing today about whether the White House is prepared to soften the assault weapons section of the crime bill.
There's no need to entertain that at this point.
How do you want me to handle the Sidney issue?
The Sidney issue?
Well, we should have a consensus on how the White House is going to handle it.
Well, I certainly hope the Sidney issue refers in some way to a problem that we're having with Australia, because if it's anything other than that...
Mr. President, Ms. Wade is here to see you.
Have her come in, please. I am finished here.
Yes, sir.
There is no Sidney issue.
Lewis and Robin leave the Oval Office as Sidney is shown in.
Oh, hi. Hi. Thanks for seeing me on such short notice.
No problem. Did you get the ham?
Yes, I got the ham.
I wanted
thanks.
To send you some flowers, but there appear to be some kinks in the system.
Oh,
I'm so glad you stopped by. I had such a good time last night.
So did I. It's just that I...
You have 45 seconds away.
I have to deliver a luncheon speech at the governor's conference today. I'm sorry.
No, of course.
Are you free for dinner tomorrow evening?
Dinner?
Casual? In the residence? Without the United Nations? My daughter will be there, so it may seem like the United Nations.
No, I'd love to meet Lucy,
I'm sure she'd love to meet you. Excuse me, Jeff.
I have some concerns that
yes, sir.
I can't do this.
Which Robinson Stackhouse?
Either one. I have to be in and out.
Sir, Governor Stackhouse said he just needed 10 minutes. I think he wants to talk about the assault weapon.
Stackhouse wants to talk about grazing rights, trust me.
Got it.
I'm sorry. You have concerns.
Yes. Not many. A few. One. I have one concern.
This wouldn't have to do with the fact that one of us is president.
You know, you like to make jokes about this, but
I am not mocking you, honest. I'm just a guy asking a girl over for a meal.
What's that?
That's my ride.
Oh, Leo Solomon has some serious concerns about me exploring a social, scenario with the President of the United States.
But when you put it that way, it doesn't sound that good to me either. Have dinner with Lucy and me. It's meatloaf night. I mean, how presidential can that be? 7:30?
The president gets into his helicopter and it takes off. The following evening, Sidney is waiting in the residence of the White House. She is checking her outfit when Andrew's daughter Lucy comes to meet her.
Hi, are you Miss Wade?
Sidney.
Hi, Lucy Shepherd. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
My dad told me to tell you that he's on the phone with his dentist and that I should behave myself and entertain you until he gets back.
Oh. Your father's on the phone with his dentist?
No. He told me to tell you that he's on the phone with his dentist. He wants you to think he's a regular guy.
All right. Well, who's he on the phone with?
The Prime Minister of Israel.
Oh. They're probably not discussing his teeth.
I hope not. No, you know, they're discussing an abbreviation I can never remember.
CSTAD?
Yeah.
Capricorn Surface to Air Defense.
Right.
Okay, let meatloaf night begin. Hi.
Hi, how's everything with your teeth?
My teeth?
The dentist.
Oh, right. Yeah, I got a cavity in my upper bicuspid region.
You have a short-range weapon system outside Tel Aviv.
I think somebody told on me.
Senator Bob Rumson is hosting a dinner. Some of his guests chat over drinks and nibbles as he discusses policy with fellow Republican senators over brandy and cigars.
They're overthinking this. Voters aren't interested in how to achieve economic growth. And they don't want to hear our plans to strengthen foreign policy.
So it comes down to character.
The press like him, Senator. The networks, the newspapers.
Reporters like him. Networks and newspapers like ratings and circulation. For all the bitching we do about liberal bias in the press when it comes to a good character debate.
The press is an unwitting accomplice.
Bob, the character debate didn't work for us.
Because it couldn't. Our polling told us that attacking his character less than a year after he'd lost his wife was going to be a turnoff, was going to make people feel sorry for him. We couldn't run the campaign we wanted because the opponent was a widower.
But he's still a widower, Bob. Time's passed, but...
You'll have to forgive my friend here. He's been on a hunting trip. He's been cut off from the world.
Well, what's going on?
The others show him newspapers with pictures of Sydney and the president on the front pages.
President's got a girlfriend.
In the residence, they're playing Scrabble.
Your dad says you're studying the Constitutional Convention.
She's not having any fun, though.
Dad?
You're not having any fun?
This is a nightmare. This is a social studies nightmare.
Well, they're doing a mock Congress, and each kid plays the role of one of the original delegates, and they debate the amendments. Now, what's not fun about that?
Good night, Dad.
Good night, sweetheart.
It was nice meeting you, Sydney.
Thanks, it was nice to meet you.
Good night.
Sleep well, honey. I love you.
Love you, Dad.
She's wonderful.
She's her mother.
She's you.
Do you like the 25-cent tour?
Okay.
He leads Sydney down a long, broad corridor with a seated security guard.
I thought CSTAD wasn't going to be operational until January.
It was ready ahead of schedule. We've just been waiting for the personnel.
The Israelis?
No, our guys. We sent a team of army instructors to train the Israelis. Good evening. I think,
Yeah.
This is the dish room.
Not the
dish room?
Yeah, it is. It's the room with all the dishes.
It's the china room.
Well, I'm more of a West Wing president. If you're curious about the mansion, I'm sure there's probably a book that you can get.
There are about 7,000. I'll get one for you.
Sydney stares at a plate in a display cabinet. Andrew stares at Sydney. She turns to look at him.
Sydney.
Mr. President, have you ever noticed how similar the Van Buren flatware is to the Buchanan flatware?
He stands in front of her.
Do you think there'll ever be a time when you can stand in a room with me and not think of me as the president?
This isn't a state of mind. You are the president. And when I'm in a room with you, oval or any other shape, I'm always going to be a lobbyist. And you're always going to be the president.
I have news for you, Sydney. As a lobbyist, you'd never be alone in a room with the president.
He strokes her neck and cheek. She starts to melt, despite her reservations.
Do you think this is a good idea?
Probably not.
They embrace and start to kiss.
Mr. President, we have a secure call from the SID room.
Excuse me.
Andrew leaves the room. Agent Cooper indicates to Sydney that she cannot follow him.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Oh, no, of course.
The president returns.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut our evening short. The Libyans have just bombed Seastan. I'll try to call you in the morning. Would you please show Miss Wade out?
The president chairs a defense meeting.
The response scenario is in place. The F-18s are fired up on the Nimitz and the Kitty Hawk. They're just waiting for your attack order, Mr. President.
And we're going to hit Libyan intelligence headquarters?
The NSA confirmed they're the ones who planned the bombing.
And what's the estimate?
We'll level the building.
Well, the Libyan IHQ looks like it's in the center of downtown Tripoli. What else are we going to hit?
Nothing. Unless we miss.
Are we going to miss?
No, sir.
And how many people are working in the building?
We've been all through the...
How many people are working in the damn building?
I have the numbers here, Mr. President. There are three shifts of...
The fewest. What shift has the fewest people? The night shift, right?
By far, sir. Mostly custodial staff.
What time does the night shift start?
They're on now, sir.
The president slams down his pencil.
AJ.
Sir, it's immediate. It's decisive, it's low risk, and it's a proportional response.
Someday someone's going to have to explain to me the virtue of a proportional response.
They all stand.
Mr. President.
Attack.
Robin, as soon as our planes have cleared Libyan airspace, you can call the press, but I don't know what time we'll have a full BDA.
General Rourke says around 0800.
0800?
Sir, what do you think about a national address?
Last thing I want to do is put the Libyan center stage.
Well, I think it's a great idea, sir. I mean, you know Rumson's going to be talking about your lack of military service.
It's not about Rumson. What I did tonight was not about political gain.
Yes, but it can be, sir. What you did tonight was very presidential.
Leon, somewhere in Libya right now, a janitor's working the night shift at the Libyan intelligence headquarters. He's going about doing his job. Because he has no idea in about an hour he's going to die in a massive explosion. He's just going about his job because he has no idea that about an hour ago I gave an order to have him killed. You just see me do the least presidential thing I do.
A press conference.
Harry,
is there anything at all about the Seastad weapon system that could have been mistaken by Libyan intelligence as offensive rather than defensive?
No, we did everything but show them the blueprints. The hardware had been sitting in an airplane hangar for more than a month. They didn't hit it until the American personnel arrived. Leslie?
Sir, there's an unconfirmed report that you were with Sidney Wade when you learned of the attack. Can you comment?
Yes, we had just finished dinner.
Mr. President.
Last question.
Sir, would you care to comment on the status of your relationship?
We don't have a relationship. We just had dinner. Thank you.
Did you tell us if she spent the night at the White House? Or
folks, a lot of people were killed last night. Let's try to keep our eye on the ball, okay? Thank you.
That was my fault, sir. We should have prepped you for that.
There's nothing that needs prepping. AJ?
Yes, sir.
Let's meet with the leadership after we meet with the Security Council.
All right. Newsweek is begging for 10 minutes today. Any 10 minutes you got?
Nobody gets 10 minutes today. Lewis, tell the speaker to wait. I want to talk to him. No, I'll be right down.
Last night, the cost of those liberal programs was raised to include the blood of 22 American soldiers. Now, Mr. Shepard's read a lot of books, but it doesn't take a Harvard degree to see this one coming a mile down the road.
I went to Stanford, you blowhole.
Has never served one day in uniform.
This box just says miscellaneous. Is it bedroom miscellaneous or kitchen miscellaneous? Sydney?
Why did I have to kiss him?
You kissed him?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
I kissed him.
Where?
On the mouth.
Where in the White House?
In the dish room.
The dish room?
The China room.
And then what happened?
He had to go and attack Libya.
It's always something.
Yeah, I gotta nip this in the bud. This has catastrophe written all over it.
In what language? Sydney, the man is the leader of the free world. He's brilliant, he's funny, he's handsome, he's an above-average dancer. Isn't it possible our standards are just a tad high? Answer the phone.
It's him.
Answer the phone.
He's gonna ask me to come over there.
Answer the phone.
I don't want to go over there.
Answer the phone.
All right, but I'm gonna end it on the phone.
I just came over to tell you why I can't see you anymore.
Come on in. Thanks, Coop.
Look, I know you've had a tough day.
Well, not as tough as some. Would you like a drink? Here, let me take your coat.
Mr. President, this isn't gonna work.
Well, sure, will you? Button the top button, it won't fall off the hanger.
That's not what I mean.
I didn't
Listen,
think it
I
was,
really but... enjoyed the time that we've spent together, but this has catastrophe written all over it. Please, Mr. President, don't pursue me outside the political arena.
Well, I have no intention of pursuing you inside the political arena. That leaves everything out, and that's unacceptable to me.
If I were on your staff, I would tell you that the absolute worst thing you can do coming into an election year is to open yourself up to character attacks. And the quickest way to do that is to prance around like the playboy of the Western world.
Well, let's clear up a couple of things here. Number one, I seldom prance. Number two, I have no intention of engaging in a character debate. Number three, you're not on my staff.
Yes, of course. But if you'll follow the immutable...
Why is that, by the way? Please.
Why is what?
Why aren't you on my staff?
You can't afford me.
How much do you make?
More than you do, Mr. President.
The name is Andy. How much money do you make?
What the hell does it matter how much money I make?
You raise your voice to the president?
I'm only thinking about the health of your presidency. You know this morning's press conference isn't going to be the end of this. Bob Rumson's got to be drooling over this.
Are you attracted to me?
I beg your pardon?
I asked if you were attracted to me.
That's not the issue.
Well, I tell you what, let's make it the issue. Let's try something new, because I know that most couples, when they first get together, are inclined to slam on the brakes because they're concerned about Bob Rumson's drool.
You're not most people.
You know what your problem is?
What's my problem?
Sex and nervousness.
Sex and nervousness is my problem.
Yes. Last night, when we were looking at those place settings in the dish room, I realized those place settings were provided by the first ladies, and I'll bet none of those first ladies were nervous about having sex with their president husbands. And do you know why?
No, but I'm sure you'll explain it to me.
I will. Because they weren't presidents when they first met them. That's not the case here.
Oh.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. May I use your bathroom for a moment?
Go right through there, right behind you.
I just want to freshen up.
And as you pass through, you'll see a large closet on the right. And if you feel comfortable, hang up your coat. And when you come back, I'll affix us a drink. We'll sit on the couch and I will explain to you my plan.
You got a plan? Don't make me wait. You're on a roll.
Okay. You're attracted to me. But the idea of physical intimacy is uncomfortable because you only know me as the president. But it's not always going to be that way.
And the reason I know that is there was a moment last night when you were with me and not the president. And I know what a big step that was for you. So, Sidney, I'm in no rush. Here's my plan. We're going to slow down. And when you're comfortable, that's when it's going to happen.
Sidney emerges from the bathroom wearing only a shirt. Andrew stands in amazement, holding a drink in each hand.
Perhaps I didn't properly explain the fundamentals of the slowdown plan.
No, you explained it great.
She tests the springiness of the bed with her hand.
Are you nervous?
No.
Good. My nervousness exists on several levels. Number one, and this is in no particular order, I haven't done this in a pretty long time. Number two, any expectations that you might have given the fact that I'm, you know...
the most powerful man in the world?
Exactly, thank you. I think it's important you remember that's a political distinction that comes with the office. I mean, if Eisenhower were here instead of me, he'd be dead by now. And number three...
Andy.
They kiss passionately.
Does New Hampshire want traditional American values back in the White House?
Senator Rumson addresses a rally.
Does New Hampshire want the pride back? My name is Bob Rumson, and I'm running for president.
The crowd wave their pro-Rumson placards in the air. A phone rings in the White House, and a sleepy Andrew answers it.
Put him through. Lewis, it is 5 a.m. You've got to get yourself a life, man. Yeah. All right.
He looks to his left, but there's only a dent in the pillow. He turns on the bedside light.
Sydney?
Hi.
What are you doing?
I wanted to leave the building before the press corps got here.
I have those same thoughts every day of my life. Say, so you know Louis Rothschild, don't you?
Sure. Boy, Louis would go nuts if he knew I spent the night.
Well, he's on his way up.
What?
Come on in, Louis.
Morning, Mr. President. Hiya, Sydney.
Hi, Louis. Well, Mr. President, thanks for taking the time to go over those fossil fuel numbers. I'll just get my coat, be on my way.
So what's the situation?
Camped out at every exit.
Who's camped out?
The press.
The press is camped out?
You should have taken a cab, Sydney.
They know my car?
Morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Sydney.
Hi.
I came as soon as Lewis called.
Oh, thank God.
I think the important thing is not to make it look like we're panicking.
See, and I think the important thing is actually not to be panicking.
Morning, Mr. President.
Morning.
Morning, Ms. Wade.
Hello.
I see everyone's getting an early start today.
So how do we exit Sydney from the building and what do we say to the press at that point?
We need a diversion.
A diversion?
You understand by diversion, I'm not suggesting that we burn down the White House.
Oh, please, let's do.
Can I just state very clearly, I can't be party to anything illegal.
Good for you, Lewis.
Just say what you want. It's always the guy in my job who ends up doing 18 months in Danbury minimum security prison.
Well, rest easy, Lewis. We're not going to create a diversion.
No diversion.
We're going to have somebody take you home.
Esther's over in my office. She has the station wagon standing by.
Okay, good. Now, press statement.
Sydney, when you leave here, you're going to run into reporters and photographers. They're going to take your picture every day. They're going to ask you questions every day. Answer them, don't answer them. It's entirely up to you. The White House has no official position except to say no comment.
No comment?
The White House does not comment on the president's personal life.
We can't just leave it at that, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lewis, we just did.
But, sir...
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Come, friends, let us away.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Sydney, Esther will be in my office. Take your time.
Thanks, AJ.
He kisses her hands.
We'll do it better next time.
Well, I'm no expert, but I thought we did it pretty good this time.
No, I didn't mean that.
I know. I had a good time.
Me too. I'll call you. I'll be in Panama, but I'll call you.
I'd like that.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. They share a tender kiss.
Okay, this is good.
David, what about an incentive program?
Sidney Ellen Wade, the political strategist who accompanied President Shepard to last week's state dinner, reportedly spent the night at the White House as a guest of the president.
The president returned from Panama this evening after a three-day tour through Central America. His first order of business, an intimate dinner with Sidney Wade at a romantic Georgetown bistro.
Conservative and religious family organizations are starting to smell blood in the water as the polling numbers of the president are dropping.
Robin, can you tell us how they met?
And Showbiz Weekly was in Hollywood for the star-studded gala. Also on tonight's program, day 15 of the Sidney Watch. Is the world's most eligible bachelor off the market?
All right, next caller, you're on the air.
Dan, what about Lucy Shepard? Is anyone concerned about this little girl? Can we now finally have a serious debate about family values?
Americans can no longer...
Political polling analyst Ed Earle, with the president's job approval taking an 8-point dip from his personal best of 63% 3 weeks ago, should the White House be concerned that the girlfriend factor has left Shepard vulnerable to the kinds of character questions he was able to avoid 3 years ago?
Well, if they're not concerned, they sure ought to be.
Columnist Cynthia Schuyler, how much will this new wrinkle affect his ability to put together a win on his crime bill?
We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to meet a junior high school classmate of Sidney Wade's who has some intimate details to share.
Well, I agree with you 110%, Mrs. Harper. That's why I'm up here in the dead of winter talking about it with you folks. Well, that's very generous of you, ma'am. And I'll be taking that money off your hands right now. What do you got?
Call me Santa Claus, Senator. She's got an FBI file.
Oh, shit, Stu. My mother's got an FBI file.
Yeah, but I got art. It's a demonstration outside the Department of Commerce. The picture's old and some of the faces are obscured by the fire, but that's a burning flag. And that's Sidney Ellen Wade right there in front.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Harry. No. Harry, think like a father for a second. Wouldn't you like your kids to be able to take a deep breath when they're 30? Thank you. You're doing the right thing. Tote board's heavy.
How's this?
The votes needed sheet now reads 10.
Terrell, North Carolina.
Hey, Sid. I saw on your schedule you're going to meet with McSorley, McCluskey, and Shane.
Yeah. The Motown 3 said they'd give me 30 minutes next week.
Sidney, these are people who represent people who make cars for a living.
Yeah?
Cars, you understand, run on gasoline.
Hey, I know it's a long shot, but if I can get one of them, it's going to be a huge payoff in visibility.
Well, if we're going to try, we should do some prep work. You want to order in?
I can't. I'm having dinner at the White House. So let's start early tomorrow morning, say 7:30.
Okay. I'm having lunch at the Kremlin, so we'll have to, you know, start even earlier than that.
Good night, David.
In order for me to catch the morning plane to Moscow.
Good night, David.
Douglas, does the NRA have videotapes of you playing golf with Satan? We've already softened the assault weapons. We're leaving the SKS, the Mini 14, and 250 other types on the street. I mean, how much pull can one lobby have? Okay, all right, we're going to have to continue this conversation tomorrow. I'm late for the party fundraiser. And Douglas, I'll put in a good word for you.
You're incredibly late.
Excuse me, Mr. President. I just got off the phone with the federal mediator in St. Louis. Management just walked away from the table. The baggage handlers, pilots, and flight attendants are all getting set to walk out in 48 hours.
You know, I studied under a Nobel Prize-winning economist, and you know what he taught me?
Never have an airline strike at Christmas.
I'm going to St. Louis.
Good. You can leave straight from the fundraiser, sir.
Thanks, AJ.
Good luck, Mr. President.
Everybody's moving.
Robin and Lewis intercept him as he's getting into his car with Janie.
Mr. President. Can we have a moment, please? He's incredibly late.
Hop in. We'll talk in the car. What is it, Lewis?
We have a small problem.
It could have been a small problem. Now, at the very least, a medium-sized nightmare.
Robin sees it as a problem. I see it as an opportunity.
It could have been an opportunity if we'd caught it.
We caught it.
At 5:45. 5:45 doesn't do me any good, Lewis. 5:45 network news is in makeup.
You have 12 people working for you. Why do
Guys,
you...
do I have to be here for this meeting?
Sorry, sir. It's on the evening news. It's buried as the third story.
It's got a bullet.
Sidney was at a protest rally. They burned a flag.
Today?
About 13 years ago.
In front of the Department of Commerce, anti-apartheid.
Let me see if I got this. The third story on the news tonight was that someone I didn't know 13 years ago when I wasn't president participated in a demonstration where no laws were being broken in protest of something that so many people were against doesn't exist anymore. Just out of curiosity, what was the fourth story?
Right. See, I think it's important when we deal with it...
Don't deal with it.
Excuse me?
They're trying to get us to swing at a pitch in the dirt. Nobody wins these fights. It'll go away.
Robin and Lewis exchange a look.
Sir, I'm not sure that's the wisest course of action.
Oh, hell.
See? It's already distracting you. Why don't you let us put together
a... No, you're reminding me I'm supposed to have dinner with Sidney tonight.
Oh, it's terrific, Beth. I love it. I can't believe I'm loaning you clothes. I thought you owned every piece of clothing there was. Well, work clothes. I always have dinner at the White House wearing a suit. I thought a dress would be nice. Go ahead. Try it on. I brought earrings, too. Hello.
Hi, what are you doing?
Just trying on dresses.
Listen, I feel terrible, but I'm going to have to cancel our date tonight.
Another woman?
No. Got to go to St. Louis to avert a massive airline strike.
Boy, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that one.
Well, thanks for understanding, and I'll call you later this evening.
Okay. Bye.
Boy, I hate doing that. She was trying on dresses.
I tell any girl I'm going out with to assume that all plans are soft until she receives confirmation from me 30 minutes beforehand.
And they find this romantic?
Well, I say it with a great deal of charm.
Look, there it is, Carmen's House of Flowers. Hey, Coop, we gotta stop.
What?
I gotta get her some flowers.
Here?
Now?
Well, that's what men do when they break a date.
That's not what men do. I know no men who do that.
Hey, Coop, I'm gonna hop out at the flower shop.
You gonna hop out, sir?
No, he's not hopping. No hopping, sir. Stay in the car. I'll get the flowers.
Then it's not gonna be personal.
At least let the agents do a security sweep. We don't know who's in there.
You think there's a florist in there planning an assassination on the off chance I might be stopping by?
It's possible.
No, you're not hearing me. Listen to what I'm saying. It was at the basketball game.
Excuse me.
No girl at the game. I'm telling you, Kiki wasn't even there.
Excuse me?
Hold on. I will be right with you.
Hey, I don't know if you're the one that I talked to on the phone. Virginia, Dogwood, President. Does any of this ring a... Well, same girl. She remembered me.
And I'm glad to see that the president has a girlfriend. Never mind that she's the hired gun of an ultra-liberal political action committee. Never mind that the president takes the fifth anytime a reporter has the temerity to ask him a question about a woman in a position to exert enormous influence over a huge range of issues. Never mind that this woman's idea of how to unwind at the end of a tough day is to get together with some of her ACLU pals and to set American flags on fire.
No reaction from the White House.
Because it doesn't need to be dignified with a response. There's no upside. I'm leaving it alone.
What do Lewis and Robin think?
Brutus and Cassius? They want me to get into a character debate and mix it up.
Lewis and Robin are very smart.
Sidney says you guys are really stupid.
I didn't say that.
She's questioning your loyalty.
Hell, I question it all the time.
Wait a minute. Here comes my favorite part.
My name is Bob Rumson, and I'm running for president.
Sure glad he cleared that up, because that crowd was about to buy some Amway products.
His numbers are climbing.
Sidney, his numbers have nowhere to go but up.
What about yours?
We're fine. We'll be back up in the 60s once I get the votes for the crime bill. So what are you doing this weekend?
I got some work I was going to bring home. Why?
Well, negotiations are going pretty well here. Looks like the nation's going to keep on flying, and Lucy's spending Saturday night at a friend's house.
What'd you have in mind?
You ever been to Camp David?
Camp David, sure. I used to go there all the time, but then they changed chefs, and I...
It's sass, right? You're sassing me.
Yes.
I'm going to have somebody pick you up on Saturday morning.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
The president's helicopter lands at a snow-covered Camp David. Inside, Sidney and Andrew cuddle on the sofa as a log fire burns.
Good God.
Man.
I'm looking at your college transcripts. This isn't human. Nobody gets this many A's. You were like a Stepford student.
What's he reading that ridiculous biography?
No. I finished Andrew Shepard Road to the White House. Now I'm on to Shepard the Early Years.
$7 trillion communication system at my disposal. I can't find out if the Packers won.
Oh, Andy, C- in women's studies.
Yeah, well, that course wasn't about what I thought it was going to be about.
In a related item, President Shepard was in Maryland this week for his routine physical exam. Doctors at Bethesda Naval Hospital pronounce the president in excellent health.
Who cares? Just give us the scores.
While the president spent the day at Camp David, GOP presidential hopeful Robert Rumson continued his attacks on President Shepard's character. During the Saturday morning news program, Capitol Review with Kenneth Michaels, Senator Rumson suggested that GDC political director Sidney Ellen Wade, whose close personal relationship with the president has been causing the White House headaches over the past 2 months, may have traded sexual favors for key votes in the Virginia state legislature while lobbying for the Virginia Teachers Association.
Wait a minute, Senator.
I'm not saying
that's a heck of an accusation.
Let me be very clear about this. I am not making an accusation. I am saying, when you hear one thing, you dismiss it. You hear two, you dismiss it. But when several well-respected members and former members of the Virginia State Legislature, each of their own accord, come to me.
Oh my God, he's making this up as he goes along.
I'm so sorry, Sidney.
I don't even know what we call her. Is she the first mistress?
Oh man, my father heard that.
Well, he's just gonna have to turn a deaf ear.
Yeah, well, my father doesn't have a deaf ear. He hears fine out of both. And so do I, and so does my sister, and so do my friends. You're the only one who seems to...
Sidney, I can't challenge a school bully to a fight simply because he picks on my girlfriend.
No, I'm not asking you to. I can take care of myself. This isn't about me. How can you keep quiet? How do you have patience for people who claim they love America but clearly can't stand Americans?
I have one election left. I don't have the luxury of losing my patience.
I want to say something to you, but... I'm going to fumble it a little bit, so please just wait till I'm done before you respond. I am in love with you. I'm certain of it. And I want to be with you more than anything. But maybe things would be better for you if I just disappeared for a while.
Things will be better when I pass the crime bill. And if you disappeared, I'd find you.
They embrace. The White House is decorated for Christmas, and the President hosts a reception.
Mr. President, militant women are out to destroy college football in this country.
Is that a fact?
Yes, sir. Have you been following the situation down in Atlanta? No. These women want parity for girls' softball, volleyball, field hockey.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Gil, the courts ruled on Title IX about 20 years ago.
Yes, sir, but what I'm saying now is that these women want that law enforced.
It's a world gone mad, Gil.
It is, sir.
Hello, Gil. Merry Christmas.
Have Merry Christmas.
Come on over here. I want you to meet some people.
You see, the country has mood swings.
Mood swings. 19 postgraduate degrees in mathematics, and your best explanation of going from a 63 to a 46% approval rating in 5 weeks is mood swings.
Well, I could explain it better, but I need charts and graphs and an easel.
Fellas, we haven't slept in 3 years. Can't we forget about work for one night and take a moment to enjoy each other as friends? It's Christmas.
It's Christmas? Yeah. You didn't get the memo?
Sidney walks in, arms folded, looking very fraught.
Sidney, Merry Christmas.
Hi.
Hello, Sidney.
Merry Christmas, AJ.
And a Merry Christmas to you. Where you been?
I got stuck on DuPont Circle.
I can never remember which lane I'm supposed to take. Then I got cut off by this idiot cab driver who starts screaming at me like it's my fault.
Come on, Sidney, it's Christmas. Hiya, Sid. Did you get stuck on DuPont Circle again?
It's not funny. I hate that place. Can't you declare it a federal disaster area or something?
I'll look into it. What were you doing up on the hill, eh?
Well, I had a terrible meeting today. I totally lost my cool with McSorley, McCluskey, and Shane.
You went up to see the Motown 3?
I pitched him the bill.
On its merits? The woman has no fear. She'd lobby the Carolinas for the American Lung Association.
It was a disaster.
Well, you're in good company. I sat with them a week ago, and they said there was nothing on the president's domestic agenda they were more committed to defeating than the crime bill.
Well, congratulations, fellas. You're out of the cellar, because McSorley told me that the only thing on the president's domestic agenda that they were more committed to defeating than the crime bill was the fossil fuel package.
You're kidding, are you?
No, I'm not kidding. It's funny that he used the same words.
Yeah, the Pep Boys don't know too many words.
I'm going to get a drink and shake this off. When I come back, I'll have some Christmas spirit.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, yeah.
Come on, I'll lead the way.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Mr. President.
Happy holidays, Bob.
Did what I think just happened? Did the GDC's political director just tell the president and the White House chief of staff that there are 3 votes on the crime bill that can be bought by sticking the fossil fuel package in a drawer?
No. The GDC's political director didn't tell us anything. Sidney Wade told her boyfriend and her boyfriend's best friend that she had a lousy day.
It doesn't change the facts, Mr. President. If Sidney gets her 24 votes and we're 3 votes shy, then there's some maneuvering to be done.
I made a promise, A.G.
You made a deal, Mr.
I made
President.
It with Sidney.
You made it with the GDC.
It's all academic anyway. We're not going to need those 3 votes.
Sir, if your approval rating continues to drop, things are going to get tight.
Lewis is schmoozing in a bar.
I'm hearing rumors that your boss is wavering on the crime bill.
I wouldn't listen to rumors, Lewis. You know this town.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear.
I'll tell you, though, my boss is starting to waver on the crime bill.
Sidney, everybody cares about the environment during a phone survey. On election day, nobody gives a damn. That's why you have a job.
Congressman Pennybaker, on election day, people give a damn about what I tell them to give a damn about. That's why I have a job.
She got Pennybaker.
The GDC now only need 4 votes.
Congressman, it was our understanding. We had your support.
Hey, look, I like your boy. Always have. But for God's sake, kid, does the woman have to spend the night?
We've got the full backing of the White House, Catherine. Yes, at 20%. 3 more votes, the president sends it to the Hill. Katie, 10 years from now, any car with an internal combustion engine is going to be considered a collector's item. Come on board. We'll make your Volvo a classic.
Congressman, the assault weapons are gone.
But the bill is priced to move.
The bill isn't the issue. I'm facing a serious challenge in November, and the president's coattails just aren't what they used to be.
The president's coattails are going to have room for you, Congressman. You just leave that to us, okay?
We've left that to you, Leon, and now the president's in a free fall.
I wouldn't say he's in a free fall.
Fellas, I just can't give you my vote.
AJ, the well is drying up. Now, the president's got to make a move or we're going to die fast and quiet.
So what if I do a new poll? We give him detailed public opinion.
And we put Sidney in the new model.
Right.
AJ, it's meaningless unless we ask him about Sidney. All right, fine. Let's do it.
Police, security, and the media are in force outside Sidney's apartment as she dines with the president. He smiles at her just before catching something from the food between his teeth.
Mmm. Mmm. Oh, it's delicious. Thank you. Mmm. Is there any more?
Tons. I didn't think you liked it.
You kidding? Of course I did. Actually, it's not for me. The agent who checked the food thought it was delicious, too. I told him I'd bring him some of hers, and he left.
So you didn't like it?
No, I loved it.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You are. I can tell when you're holding something back. You do a thing with your face.
When have you ever seen me do a thing with my face?
2 days before I met you. You were giving a speech for the Daughters of the American Revolution. I was there.
You were?
You remember the speech?
Vaguely.
Americans can no longer afford to pretend they live in a great society.
Ah, yes.
There was supposed to be something after that, wasn't there?
How did you know that?
I told you. The face.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh, wow. Mm. Mm. What's the occasion?
You're looking at a lady who's 2 votes shy of the promised land.
2 votes?
I got Pennybaker. That got me Cass and Zimmer.
Well, that's great. That's great work, Sidney.
Well, I'm not there yet.
Well, no matter what happens, you have every reason to be proud of yourself.
No, I'll be proud when I see you sign the bill.
Well, yeah.
Andy, you're doing that thing with your face.
Robin walks into the campaign office and talks to Leon Kodak.
How are the numbers?
Bad.
How bad?
41, character across the board.
No, come on. Now, George, don't tell me that.
Who is Lewis on with?
Jarrett. He's trying to keep his fingers in the dam.
You're supposed to be the United States Congressman, for the love of Christ. But we're not going to stay at 41. The numbers are going to go back up. But they're going to go back up. All right, George. Congressman Jarrett. Look, George, listen to me. It's crunch time. It's personal. This is one of those moments. It's just you and the president. Now, what's it going to be?
Leon and Robin watch him intently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all right, George, can I tell you something? We're going to win this thing. We're going to get the votes we need, and we're going to win this thing. And you know what I'm going to do after that? I mean, that very night, I'm going to go to Sam and Harry's. I'm going to order a big steak, and I'm going to make a list of everybody who tried to fuck us this week.
Lewis!
Yeah, well, just vote your conscience, you chicken shit lame ass! We lost Jerry.
I hope so, because, you know, if that was an undecided, then we need to work on our people skills.
Yeah, hi, Karen, it's Lewis. I need you to find Congressman Quincy for me right away. Thank you.
Andrew meets with Robin, Lewis, and AJ.
We lost Quincy, too.
He give a reason?
Yeah, he thinks your numbers aren't likely to rebound.
We're three votes down again, sir. Mr. President, as of this morning, Sydney only needed one more vote. Now, the Motown Three have got to be scared blind. I don't think there'll be a better opportunity.
The press is expecting an announcement on the crime bill by the State of the Union.
And if you agree to stick 455 in a drawer till after the elections, they'll give you the three votes.
And we declare victory, sir.
We said as a last resort.
We're there, sir. State of the Union is 48 hours away.
Oh, come on, Leon. There's got to be three votes someplace.
There isn't.
Bullshit! There's got to be somebody
there
out there.
There isn't, sir.
Storch.
I beg your pardon?
What about Storch?
No, Storch is a no.
Mr. President.
Wagner.
No.
Sobel.
Nope.
Clark.
No.
Not that Clark, the one from Indiana.
That one too, sir.
Mr. President, I think we have to do this.
AJ, she is one vote away. It's important legislation that for the first time has a legitimate chance. She deserves every opportunity.
She? You meant it, didn't you, sir? You meant the important legislation deserves every opportunity.
Lewis, shut up.
You have something to say to me, Lewis?
Respectfully, sir, I think we should examine the new poll for something more than its
value. Examine
it's
what? They don't
score.
Like that I'm going out with Sydney.
It's not that simple. I think that this poll brings a murky problem and a specific relief.
Whose problem are we talking about, Lewis? Yours? You worried about losing your job? Because this poll isn't talking about my presidency. This poll is talking about my life! 264 million people...
264 million people don't give a damn about your life. They give a damn about their own.
All right, that's enough.
Mr. President, you've raised a daughter almost entirely on your own, and she's terrific. So what does it say to you that in the past 7 weeks, 59% of this country has begun to question your family values?
The president doesn't answer to you, Lewis.
Oh, yes, he does, AJ. I'm a citizen. This is my president. And in this country, it is not only permissible to question our leaders, it's our responsibility. But you already know that, don't you, Mr. President? Because you have a deeper love of this country than any man I've ever known. And I want to know what it says to you that in the past 7 weeks, 59% of Americans have begun to question your patriotism.
Look, if people want to listen to...
They don't have a choice! Bob Rumson is the only one doing the talking. People want leadership, Mr. President, and in the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
Lewis, we have had presidents who were beloved, who couldn't find a coherent sentence with two hands and a flashlight. People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
Mr. President, what do you want to do about 455?
Make the deal.
Yes, sir.
Celebrations at the headquarters of the GDC.
I just want to go on record and apologize for my attitude towards you since your arrival.
Well, I didn't notice. Was there an attitude?
Well, I think that I have a lot of pent-up hostility. Well,
you know, and I'm wondering who I can blame that on. I'm not really qualified.
You know, because I've been blaming it on my mother and my ex-husband, and well, that doesn't seem to be working.
Sid, Leo needs to see you.
Well, tell him to get in here. It's a party.
He needs to see you in his office.
Well, you can't wait?
He just got off the phone with McInerney. There's been a development.
The president returns to the residence and his daughter's trombone practice.
Good evening. Sounds good.
It's progressive.
I'll say.
Dad, what's wrong with Sydney? Did you guys have a fight or something?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she seemed pretty mad.
You saw her?
Yeah, she's here.
Where?
In your room. Dad, why is she mad?
Don't worry about it, honey.
Were you a dork?
Practice your music.
You know, if you were a dork, you should say you're sorry. Girls like that.
Sid?
Have you seen a gray cable knit sweater?
A gray sweater? No. I called you at the office today.
It's Beth's. I wore it here one time and I didn't want to leave it.
Where are you going?
I'm going home, then I'm going to Hartford.
Connecticut?
Yes. Do you know if it was sent with your dry cleaning?
What's in Connecticut?
Richard Reynolds' campaign. He may be able to give me a job.
When did you decide to get a new job?
Not long after Leo Solomon fired me from my old one. Beth's gonna kill me.
Why did he fire you?
Oh, total failure to achieve any of the objectives for which I was hired. I told him he was being unreasonable. After all, I did get to dance with the president and ride in Air Force One a couple of times, but you know those prickly environmentalists, it's always got to be something with them. If it's not clean air, then it's clean water. Like, it's not good enough that I'm on the cover of People magazine.
I'll call him.
You'll call him? You mean you'll call him yourself, personally? It'll come from the president? That's a great idea. I think you should call Leo and make a deal. He hires me back for, say, 72 days. I go around scaring the hell out of Congress, making them think that the president's about to drive through a very damaging and costly bill. They'll believe me, right? Because I'm the president's Friday night girl. Now, I don't know if you can dip into that well twice, especially since I've lost all credibility in politics, but you never know. I might be able to just pull it off again. I might be able to give you just the leverage you need to pass some groundbreaking piece of crime legislation, like a mandatory 3-day waiting period before a 5-year-old could buy an Uzi. Oh, fuck the sweater. She'll have to learn to live with disappointment.
What do you think went on here today?
I know exactly what went on here today. I got screwed. You saw the poll, you needed the crime bill, you couldn't get it on your own, so I got screwed.
The environment got screwed, Sydney. Nothing happened to you. Governing is choosing, governing is prioritizing. I made no secret of the fact the crime bill was my top priority.
Well then, congratulations. It's only taken you 3 years to put together crime prevention legislation that has no hope of preventing crime.
Sid, please. I don't want to lose you over this.
Mr. President, you got bigger problems than losing me. You just lost my vote.
Sydney walks out. Andrew stares sadly after her. Andrew and AJ are playing pool again.
Hartford. What's in Hartford?
Richard Reynolds' district office. Just thinking of running his campaign. 12 in the corner. Hartford. Insurance capital of the world. Have a good time, Sid.
Listen, I'm going to have Janie clear your schedule for the weekend. You need to get some rest.
You handling me, AJ?
No, sir.
Good.
But I will if you don't start taking your head out of your ass.
Excuse me? Lewis is right. Go after this guy. Has he lied?
What?
Has Rumson lied in the past 7 weeks?
Has he lied?
Other than not knowing the difference between Harvard and Stanford, has he said something that isn't true? Am I not a commander-in-chief who's never served in the military? Am I not opposed to a constitutional amendment banning flag burning? Am I not an unmarried father who shared a bed with a liberal lobbyist down the hall from his 12-year-old daughter?
And you think you're wrong?
I don't think you win elections by telling 59% of the people that they are.
We fight the fights we can win.
Oh, don't!
You fight the fights that need fighting.
Is a view pretty good from the cheap seats, AJ?
I beg your pardon.
Because it occurs to me that in 25 years, I've never seen your name on a ballot. Now, why is that? Why are you always one step behind me?
Because if I wasn't, you'd be the most popular history professor at the University of Wisconsin.
Fuck you!
The president has slammed down his cue and now angrily picks up his suit jacket and puts it on.
Have Lewis put the final draft of the State of the Union on my desk in the morning. Yes, sir.
The president pauses at the door.
If Mary hadn't died, would we have won 3 years ago?
Would we have won?
If we had to go through a character debate 3 years ago, would we have won?
I don't know. But I would have liked that campaign. My friend Andy Shepherd had shown up, I would have liked that campaign very much.
Yeah.
The president leaves the pool room and walks slowly along a red carpeted corridor lined with pictures of past presidents. Deeply troubled, he continues to walk along the corridor past a seated security guard and a portrait of John F. Kennedy. He starts to climb a staircase, rubbing his face and smoothing back his hair with his right hand. Still with his hands in his pockets, he walks slowly and thoughtfully along a colonnade outside the White House in the night air. In the Oval Office, he sits down behind his desk and once more massages his face and head. Robin is hosting the press meeting the following morning.
Because the president feels there is no value in this kind of character debate. Arthur?
Robin, will the president ever respond to Senator Rumson's question about being a member of the American Civil Liberties Union?
Yes, he will. Good morning. It's all right, please keep your seats. Good morning.
The surprised journalists sit down again as the president takes to the platform and stands behind the lectern.
For the last couple of months, Senator Rumson has suggested that being president of this country was to a certain extent about character. And although I have not been willing to engage in his attacks on me, I've been here 3 years and 3 days. And I can tell you without hesitation, being president of this country is entirely about character. For the record, yes, I am a card-carrying member of the ACLU, but the more important question is, why aren't you, Bob? Now, this is an organization whose sole purpose is to defend the Bill of Rights, so it naturally begs the question, why would a senator, his party's most powerful spokesman and a candidate for president, choose to reject upholding the Constitution? Now, if you can answer that question, folks, then you're smarter than I am, because I didn't understand it until a few hours ago. America isn't easy. America is advanced citizenship. You've got to want it bad, because it's going to put up a fight. It's going to say, you want free speech? Let's see you acknowledge a man whose words make your blood boil, who's standing center stage and advocating at the top of his lungs that which you would spend a lifetime opposing at the top of yours. You want to claim this land is the land of the free? Then the symbol of your country cannot just be a flag. The symbol also has to be one of its citizens exercising his right to burn that flag in protest. Now show me that, defend that, celebrate that in your classrooms. Then you can stand up and sing about the land of the free. I've known Bob Rumson for years, and I've been operating under the assumption that the reason Bob devotes so much time and energy to shouting at the rain was that he simply didn't get it. Well, I was wrong. Bob's problem isn't that he doesn't get it. Bob's problem is that he can't sell it. We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them. And whatever your particular problem is, I promise you, Bob Rumson is not the least bit interested in solving it. He is interested in two things, and two things only: making you afraid of it and telling you who's to blame for it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you win elections. You gather a group of middle-aged, middle-class, middle-income voters who remember with longing an easier time, and you talk to them about family and American values and character. And you wave an old photo of the president's girlfriend, and you scream about patriotism. You tell them she's to blame for their lot in life. And you go on television, and you call her a whore. Sidney Ellen Wade has done nothing to you, Bob. She has done nothing but put herself through school, represent the interests of public school teachers, and lobby for the safety of our natural resources. You want a character to debate, Bob? You better stick with me, because Sidney Ellen Wade is way out of your league. I've loved two women in my life. I lost one to cancer, and I lost the other because I was so busy keeping my job, I forgot to do my job. Well, that ends right now. Tomorrow morning, the White House is sending a bill to Congress for its consideration. It's White House Resolution 455, an energy bill requiring a 20% reduction of the emission of fossil fuels over the next 10 years. It is by far the most aggressive stride ever taken in the fight to reverse the effects of global warming. The other piece of legislation is the crime bill. As of today, it no longer exists. I'm throwing it out. I'm throwing it out and writing a law that makes sense. You cannot address crime prevention without getting rid of assault weapons and handguns. I consider them a threat to national security, and I will go door to door if I have to, but I'm going to convince Americans that I'm right, and I'm going to get the guns. We've got serious problems, and we need serious people. And if you want to talk about character, Bob, you better come at me with more than a burning flag and a membership card. If you want to talk about character and American values, fine. Just tell me where and when and I'll show up. This is a time for serious people, Bob, and your 15 minutes are up. My name is Andrew Shepherd, and I am the president.
He walks confidently out of the briefing room with his aides as the journalists all stand in amazement, shouting out questions.
Well, you don't see that every day of the week.
He's got the whole White House press corps asking each other how to spell erudite.
Better call the printer, Lewis.
No, we gotta rewrite the State of the Union.
Every word, kid. It's a whole new ball game. You have exactly 35 minutes.
Oh, good. I thought it was gonna be rushed.
I don't want a limousine. I don't want an escort. I want a plain, ordinary, non-bulletproof automobile. Well, somebody around here must have a Chevy I can borrow. Well, fine. We'll have it outside the West Wing entrance in 5 minutes.
Excuse me, sir. Where are you going?
I'm going over to her house. I'm going to stand outside her door till she lets me in. And I'm not leaving till I get her back.
And how are you going to do that, sir?
Well, I haven't worked that out yet, but I'm sure that groveling will be involved.
You're just going to drive over?
AJ, I'm commander-in-chief of the most powerful army in the world. You don't think I can drive 10 blocks?
Just stay away from DuPont Circle. I hear it's murder this time of day.
Andrew is speechless with shock. Sydney looks at him, then at AJ.
Hi, AJ.
Nice to see you, Miss Wade.
Andrew takes a step toward Sydney, and they stare at each other.
Well, if anyone needs me, I'll be in the Roosevelt room, giving Lewis oxygen.
Andrew and Sydney start to smile at each other.
I heard your speech.
He nods.
I was in my car. It just kind of steered its way over here.
I'm glad.
Very slowly, they start to walk towards each other, maintaining eye contact all the time.
Sydney, I didn't decide to send 455 to the floor to get you back.
And I didn't come back because you sent 455 to the floor.
They embrace, holding each other very tightly.
Mr. President, you might want to... Hi, Sydney.
Hi.
Lewis doesn't know how to continue.
I moved Social Security up front.
Mr. President, Mr. Leventhal, Treasury wants 2 minutes. Hello, Sydney.
Mr. President, excuse me, Miss Wade. Miss McCall is on her way over, sir.
I got some things to do.
Yes, you do.
She kisses him.
We're only a moment or two away from the arrival of President Shepherd and his State of the Union address. George, you served on the staffs of several past administrations. What kind of last-minute activity is the President engaged in right now?
President Shepherd is admiring Sydney, who is elegantly dressed in a suit with pearl earrings and necklace.
There's something I wanted to give you since our first date. I've tried to do it a number of times, but somehow I've always managed to trip over my job. Now here. These are for you.
They're beautiful.
They kiss, and Janie walks into the room.
Mr. President?
Well, I've got to go.
Should I stay here?
Walk with me.
They walk along the corridor, with Janie leading and Agent Cooper behind.
How'd you finally do it?
Do what?
Managed to give a woman flowers and be president at the same time.
Well, it turns out I've got a rose garden.
He enters the chamber of the House of Representatives.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States!
He nods, smiles, and shakes hands with some of the representatives and senators present as the door closes behind him. The entire packed chamber gives him a standing ovation. The end.